Let us turn once again this morning to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 5. And we will begin reading with verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We would continue this morning with the messages we've been bringing forth on walking with God. And today we want to speak on, enlarge just a little bit, on walking in the light, as we see in verse 8. But now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. We begin this message much the way we did the previous one of walking in truth. We see the same pattern, how that the Apostle Paul points out what we are not to do. He expresses that in Ephesians 4:17 as he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Then we read this catalog of darkness, we might say, from verses 3 to 7 as those things that we are to refrain from doing. We very well know that we were much involved in such darkness in our own lives. And even as Paul tells us here in verse 8, you were sometimes darkness. We were guilty of those things that we see in verses 3 to 7, but there has been a change made in our lives, and as we very well know, that change is because we have experienced the new birth. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ has been implanted in our lives. And so as we read here in verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. God has made a great change and transformation in our experience. And so now we are told to walk as children of light. I want to see seven major facts about walking in the light. The first one we find here in verse 8, walk as children of light. This is the beginning. And it is important to understand these words because Paul does not address these Ephesian saints as infants or babes in Christ. He refers to them as children. Neither does he address them as sons who would be completely mature. He calls them children here. That's not in a bad sense by any stretch of the imagination, but it simply tells us the same truth. God intends for us to start walking in light early in our Christian experience. We know that when a baby begins to toddle and to walk, they have many different falls and things like that before they learn to stand upright and continue walking in that journey. Same thing is true in the spiritual sense. As we transfer, so to speak, from babes even unto children. But there comes that day in our lives when God indeed expects and wants us to walk as children of light. That means that there is to be a practical manifestation. That's what we're speaking about when we speak of walking. It is a practical expression, a practical manifestation of that which is on the inside. We've often heard that we are to make it our walk and not simply our talk. That's exactly the truth. It must be manifest as a walk, a practical walk before the Lord. And so these Ephesians, they have been given some wonderful, deep spiritual truth. And God is telling them, you need to walk in that. You need to make it practical in your everyday life. They are not full grown, as we say, but we walk as children of light in going on into maturity in our Christian experience. And again, it must begin in our early Christian experience. And then, point number two is the evidence of light. That's verses 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that we are walking in light. the fruit of the Spirit, all nine, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, all of these things are indeed to be in evidence in our lives and experience. It only comes as a direct result of the light being exactly the same equivalent to the seed of the Word of God, as we have seen again and again. The only way that we can be fruitful is because of the light of Christ. It emanates from Him. It comes from Him. We cannot make these things up or imitate them in our lives, as some try to do. This is something that indeed is implanted within us, and it grows into full-fledged fruit, and our walk of light manifests that. Now you will notice here there are so many different expressions of the fruit of the Spirit when you begin to analyze and describe exactly what is the fruit of love, what is the fruit of faith, what is the fruit of long-suffering. So many varied descriptions and applications of that. But Paul sums this up in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is a real expression of a time when we are really walking as children of light, because we become obsessed not with pleasing ourselves, but with pleasing God. That is a real evidence that we are walking in light when we want to please God more than anything else in our experience. And so it must be acceptable unto the Lord. Then number 3 is verses 11 and 12. This tells us of the need of light in our lives, even after we are born again. And so Paul exhorts in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You will notice, done of them. Paul wants us to know that we must be separated. This group walking in the light are separated from them who are walking after darkness. We really see this in two ways in our lives. And there are many of us who have experienced this very thing. When they are born again, and when they really begin to submit and to commit their lives unto the Lord, there has been more than one person who realized that there had to be a separation of fellowship from some that they knew and walked with before. They realize that they cannot remain around those people and their influences if they are going to walk in the light. Some of those separations are extremely painful. And God comes on the scene and He severs some of them on His own. But there is that separation of fellowship. And so those cannot continue in the same fellowship with darkness that they once did. But then there is the separation in our own experience. When we find out, this again is what brings us to this place of need, because we don't always have the strength and the power. In fact, we never have the strength and the power to make those separations on our own. It is God who must do that, as we'll get to here in just a moment. In the individual life of a person, the Apostle Paul went through that terrible separation. He had to learn how it came about. If you study the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul said, the things that I would, I do not. That which I would not, that's exactly what I do. And he summed it up by saying this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that same thing must come to pass in our lives. We learn our need of light, that we simply cannot do it on our own. I think of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and he told them, you turned to God from idols. Men have it the opposite way. They have the idea, I have to clean myself up, I have to reform, I have to follow all of the law, I have to do all of these things to make myself presentable to God. No, we do not. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. The only way that we are ever going to be cleansed from our darkness, turn to God first. And then you turn from idols. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul also learned in Romans 7. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must come to the place where we realize and understand by actual experience, I cannot do this on my own. But as the next point tells us, we do have the power through the light. The fourth point, verse 13. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It's the power of the light that will produce these changes in my life. It is not my own willpower. It is not all of these attempts at reformation. It is taking the light of God's Word into my own heart, and the light is what reproves. Only light can reprove the darkness. And God is certainly able to make us, enable us to do that. I want to notice one more point before we leave that one. Because as we read here, all things that are reproved in verse 13 are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever does make manifest is light. I am sure that all of you who have had the experience of wanting to witness to other people, some of them may be Christians, some of them may be sinners. I know that every one of you have had the experience of trying to verbalize these things, hopeful of turning others away from the ways of darkness. And many of you have been met simply by a blank wall. Understand this. Anytime we live our lives as an expression of life, it will indeed reprove the darkness. There will be conviction there for people. The only thing that you and I have the responsibility to do is to give forth the light. We're not responsible for the results. God will reprove that. And we see it in our world today. As we live the life of light and give forth the wonderful manifestation of the righteousness of Christ. Look at how men are trying to overturn that, legislate ungodliness and all of this. They do know there is a different way. It's been set before them, and they have chosen to go right on with their works of darkness. But God has reproved the darkness with the light. And so our lives are actually a testimony of the light which is in the Lord Jesus. Then I want to notice, as far as our own personal experience, we can't control what other people do or do not do. You can have all the elections you want to. As this country has had many elections, telling the whole world, the whole country, we do not want this gay marriage recognized and all of these things. There have been elections to testify of that, only to have courts come along and reverse those decisions. Do you know we can't do anything about that? We cannot change that. But what we can do is take responsibility for my own life. And here's what the Scripture says. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And no one can take that away from me. I will live righteously and godly and walk in light before God, pleasing Him. And it doesn't make any difference what others say or do not say about it. Number five. This is the path to light. We will enlarge on this one later. It's in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I want to save that point for the last because I want to bring some other scriptures in, and I want to keep these points that we are considering intact and in order. So we will consider the path to light a little bit later. Number six of our outline is the source of light. We see it here, but I want to turn to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John 1. And verse 5. John says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. John is on the same page as the Apostle Paul insofar as walking in the light. And so we see in verse 5, the source of light, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We hear and we see many advertising light throughout our world. There are so many religions, there are no way you can keep up with all of them. But there is only one source of light, and that is God. Despite what all of these others say, declaring all of their gods and all of that, there is only one God and there is only one light. And he is the God of the universe, the God of creation, the Almighty God. And this is the source that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Sure, you recall from the first chapter of John as they sent unto John the Baptist. And the writer John assures us, he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. He was testifying, John the Baptist was testifying the light which is in Christ Jesus. And that is the light. That is the source that we too are interested in today. This brings us to the seventh point of our outline, and that is the result of light. There are many, many different manifestations of that, but it is beautifully put here, expressed in just one word, fellowship. That is fellowship with God. And so John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That means that our fellowship with God is directly based on the light. It means that the further we go into the light, the more we walk in the light, the more we walk with God, the more we are in harmony with God. There are many examples of this in the scripture, but one of my favorites is Abraham out there in the on the desert, so to speak, and the three men appeared to him, symbolic of the Trinity. And he ran to the flock, and he got a calf tender and good, and he fixed it, and he set it before them. And Scripture says they did eat. We know that that is symbolic of the cross of Calvary. And when we come to God, when we understand, or indeed the more we understand of Calvary and all of these provisions, that is when we will have deep fellowship with God. We have fellowship with Him in accordance and to the degree that we have light, that we are walking in light in our own experience. But there's another part of that fellowship. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. When we begin to have fellowship with God, when we enjoy and we are very comfortable and delight in walking in step with God, you will notice we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is an added benefit of fellowship. When two people are both in fellowship with the Lord to the same degree, they have fellowship with one another. And that's what we have. That's what we glory in. I know that every family has experienced the phenomenon, so to speak, that they have a much deeper fellowship with people around the Word of God than they do with their own natural families. They have more in common. It doesn't mean they're mean to those people. It doesn't mean they try to exclude them or get rid of them. But fellowship is in the Spirit. They feel more of a commonness with those that have the common language of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fellowship, again, is right along with God. So we have fellowship with one another based upon that fellowship, deep fellowship that we have with God. We will close this message by coming back to point number 4. We'll not turn back to there, but awake, thou that sleepest, Christ shall give thee light. I want to see in the remaining moments this morning that that really is a process, how that Christ gives us light. Let us turn to the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 10. Jesus is trying to encourage His disciples in the midst of great persecution, in the midst of great adversity and turmoil, trial. And so we begin with verse 26. Fear them not, therefore. Them refers to the persecutors that are persecuting them because of the gospel they preach. And I can tell you today that there is much persecution going on to those who would preach and teach and publish the gospel in any manner. And so Jesus said, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered or veiled that shall not be revealed. Remember that the Scriptures already told us that it is light that reproves the darkness. And so Jesus is saying here that all of these things, all of these covert ways of the enemy, those against us, will be revealed. But notice, as we read, nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hidden that shall not be known. Verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. Jesus is encouraging these disciples, despite the persecution you are going to go through, despite the affliction you may endure, he is admonishing them, encouraging them to go ahead and give what he has spoken. What I tell you in darkness, speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. You don't need to turn there, but be sure and take down this reference to read for yourself later, because it describes the exact same scenario that Jesus gives here. It is in Micah 7:8. One of the prophets that we do not hear too much about, but he has such a wonderful message here. It says this, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." The first thing we need to see here, there is a difference in sitting in darkness and walking in darkness. Sitting in darkness is an advantage to us. This is what Jesus is saying here in this text. What I have said to you in darkness, what I have spoken to you in darkness, that is what you are to make known from the housetops in light. It means simply this. There are some messages that you and I are only going to learn by taking a trip into a dark path. You can list them down through the ages of those who spent a little bit of time in darkness, but the same pattern prevails in all. When they were in such trial and turmoil and darkness, it was then that God spoke great light unto them, and they were able to attest to it. Just consider a few of them. Abraham had some tremendous dark times. Even the time when God spoke to him about having a son, but a great darkness fell on him. And yet God was there in that experience to give to him the light. Moses, some very dark times after Israel had rejected the light, after Israel had bowed down to the golden calf. And yet here is Moses up in the mount, so grieved and so burdened, and yet God gave him light. David, search throughout the Psalms and look at the tremendous dark times that this man went through, some of them of his own doing, but it didn't make any difference. When God was there, he spoke light unto him. Daniel another, Job, Paul, John, there on the Isle of Patmos, all alone in exile. And yet God spoke the light of the entire book of Revelation to this man. God uses those same times of darkness to give personal light unto us. And the beauty of it is this. When he gives that light unto me, it does not die there. It does not cease with me. Because of those experiences, we are able to give that same light unto others. We are able to, as it were, shout it from the housetop. And so when we read here in verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. When God whispers, when these experiences with Christ himself, he whispers these things in our ear, this is exactly what is necessary in order for us to learn and to preach and to teach that same message from the housetops. Our dark experiences really become a glorious channel of light and blessing. for others. We truly become light to those around us as we walk in light in our own experience. Walk as children of light. We truly too become the light of the world that God intended in the first place.